let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. What a wonderful time of the year. Christmas season is truly special, a time we share the joys and treasures of our lives with those we love. In the inspirational collection of short poems, Christmas Treasures, The Greatest Treasure is in the Heart, author Bruce Bond uses the threads of compassion, love, and joy, combined with the memories of his childhood and the glaring headlines from today's daily newspapers, to weave a rich tapestry of heartwarming stories. Bruce was born near Los Angeles. His parents moved to the Bay Area, a little to the north. After high school, he joined the Air Force. He was sent to Germany. Life there appealed to him, and he stayed in Germany for 40 years, returning to the U.S. in 2006. Today, living in the San Antonio, Texas area, working for the government at Fort Sam Houston, Bruce started writing in high school, but never published. In November of 1999, he was involved in a near-fatal car accident. Woke up in the ICU several days before Christmas. He felt inspired to write a story to send to his friends as a special Christmas gift, a tradition that continues to this day. His book, Christmas Treasures, The Greatest Treasure is in the Heart, is a collection of those. Bruce Bond with us on This Week in America. Bruce, great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us on the program. I'm looking forward to having a chance to talk with you.
Well, thank you, Rick. I'm really glad to be here.
This is such an inspirational book, and we'll get to all the aspects of the book, but I'm going to go back and start with this whole writing thing for you. Where did this writing begin? When did you decide, you know, I like to tell stories. I think I could be good at this.
Actually, it goes back way back into my high school years. You probably remember having to write those vocabulary lists where you had a list of words, you had to use each word correctly in a sentence.
I remember those to this day, yes.
Yes, well, it was so boring to me, I decided I'd start writing a little short story, incorporating all the words on the list in the story, underline it so that the instructor would have no problem identifying it, and I'd turn them in. And it got to be a challenge sometimes because there were some pretty hard words. And later on, I found out that the instructor was doing it on purpose because it's just to see how I could work those words into a story.
So it was a challenge, and you passed it, obviously. You did well.
Yeah, and the thing is, it enriched my vocabulary immensely. I find that when people read my books, they're a little bit perplexed by the fact that I use words that are not commonly used. And I said, yeah, well, maybe that'll make you grab a dictionary and enrich your life.
Yeah, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Challenge them as well, and that's something that we need. If you read a book and you really don't have to look up a word in it, then the book probably isn't too challenging, so I certainly appreciate that. So this started basically back in high school. It took a long time to publish. Why did it take you so long to decide, okay, now that I'm writing, maybe I could publish these?
Well, that's the thing, because I was doing it as more or less a joke in high school, I never took it terribly seriously, and writing for me is not really that difficult. Some people talk about the writer's block, and they can't think about the plot and all this kind of stuff, and to me, I've got the opposite problem. I got about 50,000 plots running around in my head, and all I have to do is pluck one out and then try to figure out the best way to present what's going on in my mind. But I never thought of it as being serious because this is just a bunch of games I'm playing in my head. And it wasn't until I started writing the Christmas stories, and one of my dear friends that was a recipient of the stories, Rebecca Murley, suggested I put them together and publish it as a book. She says, what do you got to lose?
And the nice thing is that you can spread this incredible good feeling that we have that time of year. This is a book that you can pick up and read in July. It could be 90 degrees, read the book, and you'll feel good about that How do we feel in December? Then about the middle of January, it sort of starts to fade away. Maybe it's the cold and the dark of winter that does that, but it gets you, yeah. It helps you go back and re-examine those good feelings that we have during the Christmas time. Christmas Treasures, The Greatest Treasure is in the Heart is the name of the book. Respond, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon, and the direct link, you can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and do that. Let's talk about the book and how this book came about. I mentioned this started when you were in the hospital, and it's a tradition that continues right up to this day.
Well, I put the writing on Christmas stories kind of on pause because I got involved in writing several other books. My second published book was called Lovers by the Lake, and it's a romance, sort of. It's not a romance like most people think about, but we'll talk about it at another time, maybe, I hope.
I would love to.
I also got involved with helping people write. There was a woman in Canada that had a story that she wanted to tell about the plight of Indigenous Indian population in Canada. And this was a real challenge because this woman was originally from Pakistan. She's currently living in Canada. So her English is not as good as yours or mine. And I was taking her plot line and trying to figure out what she was trying to say and then working into something that sounded like an uneducated Indian boy in Canada fighting the system. And it's called Freedom Smoke, and it's only available on ebook on Amazon. I also helped another woman who I believe lives in Oklahoma. I've never met either one of these people personally. I've just communicate with them on email. And she had a story she wanted to tell, but she says her writing style is sort of like Joe Friday interrogating, just the facts, just the facts.
Yes.
And she wanted to make the story interesting and appealing so people would want to read the story instead of getting bored after the first paragraph. So I helped her put together this book. It's called There Was a Girl. And she talked me into using a pen name because she didn't want to use her real name. And it's published under my pen name of Ron Chi. And her name is Jezebel.
Ah, interesting.
It's not a real bad story, but it's about a tragic life of a girl that was born with all the cards in the deck stacked against her. And it tells of her struggle through life and how she overcomes some really, really mountainous handicaps. And,
yes.
Some really, really bad news. And she becomes an alcoholic. It's a struggle all through her life, but she finds redemption, and ends up kind of a tragic ending. But again, I like to help people write because I feel that everybody has a story in them. It's just sometimes they have a tough time getting it out of them onto paper.
Well, and you hear that so often.
In, yeah, true. I'm a really strong believer in reading. I used to, when I was in high school, go to the library during the summertime and read to the preschool children to get them excited about reading books and the magic that a book has. And so I've got these really strong emotional feelings about reading and writing.
Well, and that's so important. Was that the case when you were growing up? Did you have books accessible? Was a book something that you read and a chance for you to escape and go to other places?
Yes, as a matter of fact, books were really important in my family. My dad had a lot of books. He had the entire collection of Zane Grey Western classics, and I read many of them myself. He read every one of them. Every book in the house he had read, including the encyclopedia. So I really was inspired by his eagerness to learn and read, and he was constantly reading. He was, every time I saw him, he had a book in his hand and he was working on it. I was raised in Central California. In the summertime, it gets quite hot there. And back in the 50s when I was an elementary school student. Most houses did not have air conditioning in those days. So if you wanted to have a nice cool day, there's only one place that had AC, and that was the public library.
Go to the library. I went through that myself. Spent a lot of hours in the summer in the library. Then suddenly reading.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah. You go there maybe to escape, and then suddenly you get caught up in this world of books and words, and suddenly, you know, this is sort of fun. I think I'm intentionally going to come here tomorrow. Even if it's not as hot outside, I'm going to go inside into the library and do some reading.
Exactly.
Bruce Spahn is our guest on the program. He's the author of a number of books, as we talked about, talking specifically about Christmas treasures. The Greatest Treasure is in the Heart. The book is available at Amazon. You can find it by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and find the direct link for Amazon. And Bruce's last name is spelled S-P-O-H-N, if you are doing a Google search to try to find the book. These are a collection of short stories, and they all are so touching and heartwarming. Is there a favorite that you have, several that jump out at you that you like? I have my favorite. Simple Treasures is one that I could relate to in so many ways. And it's probably unfair to ask you if there's some that I'm sure that, like your children, you like all of them.
Well, because I wrote each story once a year for 9 years. At the time, the story I'm working on was my favorite. Simple Treasures is very, very sweet.
And that's interesting because you've got two young boys there. I love they're going to be, we're getting close to Christmas. They're going to do Chutes and Ladders. And instead of normally, as they would accuse the other of cheating and maybe get a little out of hand as they're doing this, there's something special about the Christmas season, isn't there? Because they're aware that, you know, it's getting close to Christmas. We better be a little well-behaved here.
Exactly. And I have to fess up on this. I'm one of those little boys.
That was you and your brother that you're writing about there?
That was me and my brother.
Was your mom?
We really did live on a street that had a spooky house on it.
So the story is somewhat autobiographical. The short story is Simple Treasures. You got these two young boys. They understand it's Christmas season. They'd love to have some snow, but they don't get a lot of snow. So it's what basically you have to watch it on television or see a Christmas card to get that extra feeling of Christmas.
I told you I was born and raised in California in the valley. You don't get snow, but you might see it on the TV.
Yeah, the Bing Crosby special, when that comes on, you'll get a chance to see snow, but you're not going to see it looking out the window. And Mom, and we'll take this a little further and see if this is still autobiographical, Mom is making cookies, and she feels they're old enough to participate, so they're making cookies, put on their special clothes, so they don't mess up the clothes, and a Christmas tradition is born. Did you go through that as well?
Oh, yeah. I remember coloring the cookies. You better be careful. I'm going to start crying pretty soon.
Well, it's great memories. And as you're reading the book, Christmas Treasures, The Greatest Treasure is in the Heart, suddenly those memories come back, and it's not my family that I'm reading about, but it could be, and I'm reading this, and you know, Dad's off to work the whole time. He works shift. He's trying to do his best, and everybody gets caught up in the true meaning of Christmas, and that's what you capture in the book. How much fun was this? Now, you wrote these every year, so you sort of built them up to the collection for the book. How much fun was this each Christmas to go back, obviously a lot of times in your mind, and recreate some of those Christmases? How much fun was that going back and those special memories?
That's the best part about writing these books. You get to kind of soul search. You get to time travel. You go back in time to another time and space. That first story was written like in a time frame of the late 50s, 57, 58, when I was 7 or 8 years old. Sam is a character you'll find popping up multiple times in the book. And later on, I introduce a woman named her name's Sandy. Sandy pops up several times in the book. Each story is separate and complete. So after you read one short story, you can stop and miss nothing. But as you read the entire book, you'll find that they're all interwoven, because just like our life, we meet people and we interface with people, and somehow we weave a rich tapestry of our existence by the contacts of people we make, and that's part of what the stories are about.
And it's nice to sort of slow down, go back, and get in that reflective mode as we're reading stories. And again, as I did with one of my favorites in the book, Simple Treasures, it's not my family, but I can relate. And that's, you find that maybe is the key to why these poems have been so successful, is that relatability factor, the fact that people could read those and there's something there that that would correlate with something probably in their lives.
Yeah, I think I try to capture the essence of the American family in that book. And then there's another story, the man's name is Dave, and he teaches his kids how to decorate the house, and they work together as a team. And this is an essence, it's beyond Dodsey and Harriet. It's really the real American family back in the late 50s, early 60s. As you progress through the book, time passes, and you'll find Sam again in another story called The Sentinel, where he's spending his first Christmas in a foreign country, away from home, and it causes him to think back on happier days at being at home. So each story is supposed to inspire people, to show them that you don't have to have superpowers to make a difference. You can be the person next door that sees somebody in need and make a big difference.
And be there for them. And that point comes across in the book, Christmas Treasures, The Greatest Treasure is in the Heart. Bruce Spahn, our guest on the program. A few minutes left in the show. The book's available at Amazon. I'll give you all that information here in a few moments. It's an emotional book because you do reflect on your life and what you've gone through. And I said in the beginning, it's a book that you really... Well, first of all, make a great holiday gift, you know, item to give to someone, a gift of memories where they can escape and go to a time that was probably a lot simpler back then, that and think about the family bond, the family values. But in my mind, you could pick this up and read this anytime. They're great inspirational stories. And again, recaptures that special feeling. And I keep saying that, but I want to see if you agree. Isn't there a special feeling in that month, that six-week period around the holidays where everybody, yeah, we make eye contact? We don't in February. We make eye contact in December, and we actually talk to people.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, one of the stories starts out, you know, December is this very special time of the year. It's like the stars twinkle more brightly. There's something in the air, and everybody feels it. But when you read these stories, like you point out, you could pick it up in the middle of summer when it's too hot to be outside and you want to chill out in the AC. You pick up this book and read it and get the warmth of the Christmas spirit.
It's really something that we don't want to experience just one month out of the year. If we could just sort of retain that through the rest of the year, I don't want to break into song here, but the world would be a better place. It really would be. There's something in the air during that month of December, no matter where you live or your circumstances, that makes that a special time of year. A minute or so left in the show. You mentioned books that you've been working on for yourself and others. What are you working on now? Is there a work that you've got in progress?
There's always one in progress.
Always one in progress. Well, that's the good news.
This one, the working title on it is Dark Dig. At the time, I couldn't think of anything better to call it, but I've needed something at the top of the page.
Well, I like that. It has my attention. How far along are you in the process?
500 pages.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. I take it nearing completion?
Yeah, I hope so.
You and the editor hope so. So that...
This is kind of a unique story. It's about a young college co-ed that's, when she was growing up, she always felt that there was something unique about her, but she wasn't quite sure what it was. But she knew she wouldn't find it in small town, hometown. So she went away to college to New York, and she was going through the different class offerings, and she saw the picture of Marcus Adonis, a Greek archaeologist who's going to be doing seminars there.
Mm.
And she'd always been fascinated by the maps she saw on the wall and school, and so she decided to sign up. And she falls in love.
Okay, well, you have me hooked on that. I see where the dig comes from now in the title.
Yeah, well, he's conducting a archaeological dig in a small area just outside of Athens. And he's over in New York trying to raise money to finance the dig and looking for volunteers. And, of course, she goes to one of the big fundraisers that he has and watches the presentation and sees the dig and all this kind of stuff. So she decides she has to volunteer to go help in the dig. This is like the first two chapters. After she gets there, the drama begins. The thriller. It's actually a thriller.
Ooh.
She was expecting him to pick her up at the airport. He's not there. And she hears her name being paged. She goes to the info center, and they hand her a note that was he gave them to give to her when she got there. And it's, call this number, but don't use your cell phone. I'll give you details.
Mm. Okay, well, you've got me hooked on that one, too. So hopefully we got a lot we can talk about in future programs. I would love to come back and spend some time with that as well. Unfortunately,
I would love to talk with you. I can talk for hours, as you can see. And
well, you have great things to say.
I've been working on it for about a year.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to touch base on that as well. The specific book we're talking about in the program today is Christmas Treasures, The Greatest Treasure is in the Heart. Bruce Spahn, our guest on the program, that's S-P-O-H-N. If you're Googling it, books available at Amazon. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to the link that will take you to Bruce's book at Amazon. Bruce, this really has been fun. You're a very talented writer. I really loved having a chance to read this book and looking forward to many more. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Okay, thank you very much, Rick. And my book will be highlighted at two book fairs. One of them is in Texas, the 23rd Texas Annual Book Fair, October the 27th and 28th. And the next one is the Miami Book Fair, November the 16th.
Ooh, those are both major events. So yes, and we'll have some information on that as well. It's a chance to, I'm sure you can probably get an autographed copy while you're there. And again, they make a great read.
I'm afraid I won't be present at either one of them because I have had made commitments at other places.
Okay.
One of them was... during October, I'll be in Pennsylvania visiting my very, very special friend, Dr. Rebecca Murley, who was the inspiration behind publishing this book. And she's kind of like the one that's holding her hand over my head while I'm writing Dark Dig.
Well, that'll be good.
She tries to keep me going too crazy on the book.
That will be good and will be fun. So you can stop by those book fairs and get information and buy a copy of the book. Christmas Treasures, The Greatest Treasure is in the Heart. Bruce, thank you for joining us on the program. Happy holidays.
Well,
and we'll get together again. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.